I realized on the drive in here why I wanted to do Gravity.
Yeah.
It's because we had just done Gravity Falls and it just stuck out in my head.
He just deleted a word.
Yeah, just delete a word. That's our next one. Yeah. Welcome to the Negative One Podcast.
Hello.
I'm Thomas.
I'm Matt.
For the people who can't tell the difference between our voices, which there are apparently some.
Really?
And new listener.
I'm the nasally annoying voice.
I'm the high pitched one.
Voice.
Yours is deeper than mine.
Yeah.
Gravity. Yep. Not sci-fi, really, but is, but isn't.
I heard the noise just now that the microphones aren't picking up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, is Thomas over there blowing it up in that chair?
Yeah.
And I thought you were farting. And then I just remembered that our neighbor cut down a fuckload of trees. They have been chainsawing non-stop.
Nice that you think my ass smells.
Well, I couldn't figure out what the fucking sound
like burning
was.
Wood.
Your phone's not buzzing. My phone's not buzzing. Something's going burp, burp, burp.
It's your dogs.
Oh. And my dogs are being quiet for the moment. So shut up. Hi.
Hi.
Negative One Podcast. I've never seen Gravity. I watched it. We're going to talk about it.
Probably. What have you been doing lately?
So.
Yes.
Do you want me to go first?
We'll
get mine out of the way.
I know
you can try
mine
and
is.
Cut me off. Hunting season stuff. I know. Shut up. Went to a local place. I'm not going to promote them.
A local place or a chain?
Like, it's a chain, but any hunting shop is typically called an outfitter because they're just setting you up with tools to go get something done. And I have been, my friends have shot competitive archery and mm-hmm. practiced archery for a long time. And with carpal tunnel tendonitis, I always kind of stayed away from compound bow. And reason is one of my friends has his bow set up to a 70-pound draw.
Ouch.
I tried to draw that sumbitch a couple times and shoot with them one day. Could not deal with it. My hands just fucking fried.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh, well, guess bow is never for me. It's never an option on the table. But I will never be an archer.
Were you hand-drawing that bow, or were you using a...
It was a release. So it's a compound bow with a release, but mm-hmm. it's still a 70-pound draw. And the let-off percentage on that particular bear compound, mm-hmm. it was not friendly. So,
I can imagine completely ripping off the skin on my left arm doing that. Because you do it wrong once.
Yeah.
And it's going to rip.
You learn.
Yeah.
So I went out to this place to start shopping for crossbows, which in most states are considered archery equipment, mm-hmm. even though it's a higher feet per second and all this other kind of stuff. And some states you have to have medical sign off to use them. But I wanted to hunt. Rifle seasons are too short, mm-hmm. right? I wasn't going to buy a dedicated Winchester style rifle to hunt deer in Ohio with rifle because, yeah, literally you're only allowed to use Winchester style rifles.
I didn't know that.
In Ohio. It's fucking ridiculous.
Better than hunting with an AR-15.
No, I would hunt with an AR-15. I'm going to use my AR to go boar hunting because I trust the platform and I do not want that boar turning around and coming after me. An AR-15 is just a rifle. Get off your assault rifle high horse. It's the same thing as a fucking hunting rifle. It just looks like that thing from Call of Duty.
No, it's not. It is based on the M16 architecture.
Yes, and it's still semi-automatic. Yeah. I can go buy a semi-automatic Browning hunting rifle right now. And
all
it
takes is a
modification. It looks like what your grandpa had. It looks like what your grandpa had. No, it does not take a simple modification to make it automatic.
I didn't say simple. I said all it takes is a modification.
You can turn anything into an automatic weapon with modification.
True.
You turn your refrigerator into an automatic weapon with modification. They did it for that 7-Up commercial, remember? Jamie Heineman built that.
Mm. Anyway, go on.
But I went to this outfitter. I started looking at crossbows. And finally, this guy, who's a actually national champion archer, and he works there in the off season in this place. And he hurt his back, so he's been out of training. So he works there. He runs their archery section. And he said, well, can I ask, like, you're a strong-looking young kid. Why are you not doing compound? And I said, well, I have carpal tunnel and tendonitis because that means nothing. It's like, it does because I tried to shoot my friend's 70-pound bow and it fried me. And he goes, okay, what was the bow? And I explained it. He goes, how much did the bow weigh? And I was like, I don't know. It was this. And he figured out what model it was. It was a 70-pound bow. Shouldn't have been that heavy. Weighed 9.4 pounds, like, in your hand. He goes, well, dude, no wonder you were toast. Like, no one should be doing that. And so he actually outfitted me for archery.
He spent time with you.
Dude, he spent 2.5 hours
right.
showing me the bows that I would need, teaching me all the major like things that I needed to go study. He wrote a list and like he literally outfitted me and studied my body to get the right bow. And so a few weeks ago, I picked up my first compound and this dude nailed all of his teaching and lessons. He directed me in the right way. And I have actually, like, I'm a kind of a whiz. I like a weird natural with archery.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of shocked me. But it all took some person that wasn't my friend to sit down and say, dude, you're not approaching this right. And there's no reason you should have to buy a crossbow.
And what he ended up doing was, not only did he complete a sale, which, you know, was nice.
Absolutely. But, and he's non-commissioned. He just wanted someone to get into it.
But he did right by his store, because now when you have questions, you're going to go there.
Oh, yeah. I already offered. I told him I would buy his deer tags this year if he would take me out during deer season. He goes, in a heartbeat?
Right.
I'm like, dude, I will literally pay for your tags if you take me out and make sure that I do this right.
Right.
And he goes, yeah, in a heartbeat.
You made a friend.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So shout out to Randy. He's fucking awesome. But yeah,
Randy.
I picked up a PSE Brute Force Light Pro. It's a 3-pound compound bow. It weighs like nothing.
Yeah.
And right now I'm shooting it at a 58-pound draw. And I have learned that archery is the nerdiest weapons art that there ever will be. You have to know like tons of math. You have to know so much math.
You can skim by
letting somebody else figure it out for you.
Well, especially with a compound and whatnot. But yeah, I get what you mean.
Oh my God. There's so much. There's FOC percentages on your arrows. There's grain weight. There's feet per second calculations. There's LOB for your bow, which translates to feet per second, which then you have to calculate with the FOC how much poundage force you're actually hitting your target with.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what you're going to hunt, do you want to increase or decrease the poundage per square inch of what you're hitting?
It's so like, what you're telling me is that you're playing D&D for hunters.
Dude, I'm not even joking. Archery is hunters D&D.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I did not know it was like this.
I get the... You mentioned that you're a bit of a natural.
Shockingly.
And that's awesome. Like, and compound is so different. Now, I haven't done it since high school, but that was my favorite section of high school gym was when we did the archery two-week segment because I was naturally good at it. But that wasn't compound. Those were just longbows.
So my friend that I'm going hunting with, he went with me to pick that bow up the day I made my purchase. And he's like, oh, shit, dude. Okay. And then the next day he ordered a recurve. He's going straight up recurve. Yeah, he's hunting with it too.
That's hard.
Dude, it's hard as shit. We have been practicing so much.
In order to draw back and hold that draw and...
Typically, you don't want to hold it.
And keep... Well, in order to aim. And then keep your aim, because you're dealing with no help on that pullback.
He's a psycho.
Yeah.
But it's just been... Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. It's nuts. But it's been so rewarding. Like... I Robin Hooded two arrows at 25 yards within 24 hours of having purchased my compound.
So which you went, that's awesome. And then you went, fuck, those are expensive.
Dude, not even joking. I heard it hit the target. I'm like, that didn't sound right. And I walked up and I'm like, no fucking way.
Yeah,
and
then immediately, and sent it to me.
And immediately I was like, that was fucking expensive. Cause I'm shooting carbon fiber arrows from Easton that are not cheap. They're not fucking cheap. To give people an idea, like a proper set of a half dozen hunting arrows, just the shafts, and then a cheap
and the field
set.
Tips, right?
Yeah. So the shaft and the field tips you have to buy separate. So the shafts with one set of cheap vanes, the little feather things on the back,
the fletching.
A good half dozen for hunting is somewhere in the neighborhood of $80.
Yeah.
Ones for archery, like competition, are $465 for six. Like for competitions.
Yeah.
I would never pay that. But like that means with field tips, improved fletching, which is the arrow, the feathers on the back, the vanes or fletching, you can call them. I mean, I literally Robin Hooded arrows within 24 hours and I was stoked, but immediately realized that was a $22 mistake.
Yep.
And I shared it on Reddit and people were like, hooray, good for you. That's fucking awesome. It's one arrow per dot when you're that close. And I'm like, oh, that's why there's so many dots on the target.
Yeah.
So I learned quick, but it's been super rewarding. And I'm just
five, right? Five dots.
Mine's got nine.
Oh, yours is the full.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Mine's got nine. Oof. I'm all in it. I'm all in it. I love it. And even if I go hunting and like I said, if I shoot something and hate it, I will be doing archery for the rest of my life. It is so hard.
I'd be interested in using yours for a bit and seeing how it was before I went all in. But I was looking at your stuff and I was like, this looks fun.
Yeah, dude.
But I wouldn't do it for hunting. No. Because I wouldn't hunt.
No, no. Like I said, if I go out hunting and I fucking hate all of the experience, I am in archery. This is fucking sweet.
Yeah, my nephew does archery. And he's really good. I'm not so much. I was a natural at with the longbow, but you don't have to do all that calculation and stuff right. for it. It was just literally, you know, shooting a target. And I'm pretty good 20 years ago.
There's a...
Don't know what I am now.
I'll wrap the hell up with my part, but there is Houston Woods, which is on the eastern side of Ohio.
Yep, yep.
They have a completely free to the public archery range.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been up there a couple times.
Really?
Oh,
I mean, that's a bit of a drive.
They have 4-foot by 4-foot foam targets, which are what you want. 10 feet, 20 feet, no, 10 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards, 40 yards, 50 yards. Free to the public. They have a gigantic, like a elevated deck that's 30 feet off the ground or like 20 feet off the ground with a 25 and a 50 yard target for that one. So that way you can practice shooting at a downward angle for tree stands. And then they have a full woods-based 3D target course where they have, like, the fake deer and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
With tree stands all throughout the woods nearby. Nifty. And it's free. You just go up. I mean, that's like $50,000 worth of hunting equipment just to practice. And you just drive out, walk in.
Well, it keeps people from...
And go. Yeah.
Accidentally shooting, losing their... Yeah.
Exactly.
Keeps people interested.
Keeps people safe. That's the other huge part.
So... Me, yeah, being a nerd.
What have you been up to?
I started reading all of DC Universe stuff from Rebirth on.
Oh, dude.
So that's about a little over a year's worth of comics. I've not gotten through it all.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
And is this the setup for Convergence and Divergence?
This was... So Flashpoint started the New 52.
Yeah.
You knew about that.
And they already... Did away with all that.
This was what came of them trying to fix the timeline. Thanks a lot, Barry Allen. Don't fuck with the timeline anymore. Yeah, this is... Or actually, it was Wally West, I believe. This was the rebirth is them trying to get rid of New 52 and not really start over. That's the most frustrating thing, because they do this rebirth thing where they're restarting everything, but they're not redoing origin stories, and some of the stuff from New 52 carried over and some of it didn't.
Oh, God.
So it's like a yet another new timeline that it's weird, but it would have... The reason why I did it was I was looking for a jumping on point.
Yeah.
And I thought
that's exactly what I was about to ask.
Flashpoint would have been the right spot. And that started with the New 52, and I started looking at the New 52, and it's still kind of crazy.
Yeah.
And they retcon so much with Rebirth, I was like, I'm just starting at Rebirth.
Do they do this because they get themselves written into corners?
Yes.
Or do they do this because they know every few years they have to reboot in order to get new comic readers on board?
Both. Now, you notice... The number of times that Marvel has done it versus the number of times... Which they have done it.
Oh, yeah. They just did it.
Versus the number of times that DC has done it is... The number's disparaging. And it's because DC writes themselves in the corners more often. The nice thing about it is that with Rebirth, they are adding some stuff from like ancillary properties. Watchmen. Has a hand in this. Dr. Manhattan has a hand in this. They're adding some of the Vertigo titles to become more integrated with DC. Mm-hmm. So that in itself is neat. But yeah, as a fan, I'm, you know, Superman and Batman have the most comics out. And I'm like, yeah, that's interesting. But some of the neat stuff has been the other stuff. Like,
yeah.
I'm really digging the new Green Lanterns. There's two of them now instead of one, and they're rookies. They don't know what the hell they're doing. That's been really good. The Flash has been good. Teen Titans has been good. Superman's interesting because Superman's not the Superman from that Earth. That Superman died. I forget how.
Hmm.
Yeah, but it's been fun. I'm maybe 4 months through. So I'm in like September of 16, and eventually I'll catch up. But I'm not a DC guy, and I've been interested enough in some of them. So that's what I've been doing.
It's
a lot of reading.
It's a shitload of reading, dude.
It is. Some of the comics are wordier than others. Some of the Batman ones I just want to throw through a fucking window.
You know, anything Frank Miller touched.
And it's not even Frank Miller. It's just
DK3 was good.
Nope.
Oh, just I not. Thought DK3 was good.
Yeah. So that's been a lot. The Wonder Woman has been really neat. By the way, we never talked about Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it.
You still haven't seen it?
No.
So you're waiting. At this point, you're waiting for it to come out.
Probably.
On Blu-ray.
They're not getting any more of my money. They're just not.
I'll say that Wonder Woman is what DC needed.
Right. But I still maintain it's probably being slightly over-celebrated. Number one, feminism. But hey, you know what?
Well, she's supposed to be a feminist, feminism icon.
So. All fine and good. But the other piece of it, too, is that it's finally a decent DC movie.
I walked into it hearing that it was good and was like, but I don't care that much for Wonder Woman, and I really don't care about World War One.
I've been getting told that it's actually like a 7.9 or an 8 out of 10, but because it's the first consistent, everyone feels that way, it's the first DC film in years that everyone's like, yeah, it's good.
So, yeah, in that same vein, right? I'm trying to think of a Marvel movie that was like that. I would say Avengers was an 8 out of 10. Especially, I would say Avengers Age of Ultron was a 7 out of 10. Did I enjoy Avengers?
I liked Ultron more than the first one.
Did I like it? Yes. Did I really like it? Yes, I did. And I would watch it any day. The Dark World was like a 6 or 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
I still liked it. I don't care a damn bit about Thor, but right. I would watch it if it was on my TV. And that's where this was for sure, if not better than that. The only thing I don't like about it is I'm not a fan. Nothing wrong with her. I'm not a fan of Gal Gadot's accent. I get she's...
You know, I had the same problem, and I understand that Hippolyta and the whole fucking thing is supposed to be foreign, but her accent...
Well, it would make more sense if everyone else had the same accent.
Exactly. But that's my thing.
None of them do.
No.
And she's
highly inconsistent.
And she's an Israeli actor. I don't fault her for it. It's just hard. Sometimes it's hard to understand.
Yeah.
Robin Wright in that movie was really good.
Yeah.
Like, really good. I like Robin Wright though. She's creepy as fuck. She's come a long way from Princess Buttercup for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
Defying Gravity.
Yeah.
Now I want to sing Wicked.
What year did Gravity come out?
13.
I'm trying to think if I was in film school still.
4 years ago.
I was not. I don't think I was in film school still.
October of that year.
I knew a lot of my friends in that realm were freaking out about that movie. And a lot of them went to see it in theaters and like, holy shit. You know, the cinematography, the effects, the blah, blah, blah. And everyone was like losing it over how good Gravity was. However.
Unless.
When. I think the reason I decided not to see Gravity is because I was so frustrated with the Avatar masturbation.
Yeah.
That I'm like, I don't need to pay money to go see a spectacle. Like, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I'm not interested. And that's how people kept on selling it to me. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, Sandra Bullock, it's got George Clooney. I'm sure the acting is superb, but I really don't need to go see Avatar in space.
So my argument to that is...
I'm not saying I was right. I'm just saying that's why I've waited.
Not even with this film, but my argument to just that line of thinking is, you saw Doctor Strange...
But Doctor Strange was not necessarily out of spectacle. It just ended up being awesome.
It ended up being spectacle because, and I've re-seen it because it's on Netflix. I've sat and rewatched it. It was like, yeah, this was a decent comic book film.
Dormammu, I've come to bargain.
Dormammu, I've come to bargain. Dormammu, I've come to bargain. What is this? I've got all the time. No, it was a decent film, but a lot of it, because of the spaces in which it works, is spectacle.
Yeah.
You see New York City turn in and on itself. That's why I saw it in 3D, was because, hey, this is going to be fun to watch in 3D.
I'm not disagreeing with that. But I don't need to go see spectacle for the sake of spectacle.
Like, I get that.
Doctor Strange was a piece of a greater universe and a character I'm interested in, right? Sure. That plus spectacle, I'm willing to see. Pure spectacle alone,
somebody Avatar. Saying this was a good movie, and then on top of it, it's got some spectacle to it.
I just wasn't into it, man.
I didn't believe anyone saying, I was right. saying that Avatar was a good movie. It was okay.
It was fucking Pocahontas.
It was Pocahontas. I've said that for years. That said, are you going to see Avatar 2?
No.
I will. It, I will see it.
No, I'm. Out. I don't know.
I won't see it in 3D because what's the point? I missed.
Well, they're trying to release it in 3D without glass.
I thought you were going
to
say 4D.
No. They're trying to make that the first nationwide distributed film that's 3D with no glasses.
The first 3DS movie?
Yeah.
That's so difficult. But yeah. That technology. Apparently, it's a
fucking nightmare to film.
So here's the thing, since we're talking about that, as much shit as Nintendo gets for being innovative, quote unquote,
they did it
innovative,
first.
They made, first of all, the Wii, the first to do the Wii in the way that the Wii does, right? With the motion tracking and all that,
right?
Which is incredibly intelligent, right? Then they did the Wii U, no big deal. They did the 2DS, which was the first, that was touch screen on a smaller scale that didn't cost $400 like your phone, or $700 like your phone does. And then they came out with the 3DS. They made it so that you could see something in a 3D field without glasses. And everybody was like, how the fuck does that work? They're innovative as fuck.
Yeah.
And then they come out with a tablet and say, oh, this is innovative too. Fuck you, it's not. Anyway, go on. My bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not, just not interested in seeing Avatar. Again, I don't want to pay them money. I'll probably fucking do it.
And you weren't interested in seeing Gravity.
No. I don't know why. Just wasn't.
For me, part of it was, like, I didn't see it in theaters. I rented it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, I don't even think I rented it, like, normal. This was back when every 3 weeks or so, we would get a free rental from Redbox because we were on their mailing list. And this was probably one of those free rentals. Yeah. And I'll tell you why. I don't like Sandra Bullock that much.
What? Heresy.
I don't think she's great. I don't think she's attractive to me. Like,
buddy,
I get why some people do, but it's not for me.
Buddy, you're so wrong.
I don't think she's particularly funny. I'm not a huge fan of George Clooney, although I do, I don't mind him. So when I see this movie with George Clooney and Sandra Bullock, I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess.
I think George Clooney's slightly overrated, but damn it, he's good at what he does.
He's good. Yeah, he is good at what he does. And I would say the same thing about Sandra Bullock. She's slightly overrated. She's not as funny as she's portrayed to be, but eh.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't bomb anything, really, except for what's that movie about Steve?
What About Steve?
Not What About Steve. It's not what it's
All
called.
About Steve.
All About Steve.
Which has actually some redeeming qualities in the fact that it has no redeeming qualities. Okay. Okay, let's take our break, and then we'll talk about Gravity.
Alrighty, then.
I want to lead you through my watching experience.
Mm.
But you're not allowed to breathe.
Will I fall through it? Oh, yeah. How many times did that happen? And I was like, oh, that's bad. Right.
Yeah.
Press the button.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
In this movie, George Clooney plays a douchebag.
I don't agree.
Yeah, he's a douchebag.
No. I don't agree.
He's a douche. And then Sandra Bullock plays somebody with no personality. It's barely interesting.
Kind of.
No, I mean, this is the epitome of it to me. It's not the characters that drive this movie. It's the situation. This is a plot-driven movie, not a character-driven movie.
We'll talk about it. So, what... I literally want to go step-by-step through my viewing experience.
No, okay.
Right?
Hold on, let me get a pillow.
I grabbed the box, flipped it over, just because I wanted to make sure I knew how long of a thing I was getting into. 91 minutes. with credits.
Feels longer than that, doesn't
it? It feels like a fucking eternity to watch this movie.
Yes.
However, I have a fun fact about my experience watching this movie.
Okay.
Wife and I were out, did some stuff, like dinner, movies.
Each other.
Whatever. Got home. Herman the Planet Smasher. It's a Devin Townsend joke, and yes, that is his full name. Herman the Planet Smasher took a boom boom and a pee pee in his cage and not only stomped all over his diarrhea pee mix, fucking rolled over in it.
Nice.
So I got home.
So already you have an adverse reaction.
I had a nice night with my wife. I'm like, okay, we'll go home, make popcorn, have throwing gravity, walk in, and I can just smell it. I mean, he's on the second floor in his crate, and I can smell it from the front door. I'm like, no, this little bastard. And sure enough, I walked up, and I saw him. He's going, and he wants out of his cage, and his little pitbull face just goes, and because he knows he's in trouble, and he knows he wants to bark because he wants out. But he's like, if I get out, I'm in fucking trouble. And so I had to assess the situation. I'm like, all right.
But wait, hold on. Who's a good boy?
Not him.
He's a good boy.
Fucking not
him. Him's a good boy.
Him is not a good boy. Him is the worst boy.
Him's a good boy.
Him is return to sender boy.
Aw. Him's a good boy.
No. Him is not.
Him is.
How many times has he nut checked you?
Him's a good boy. them's all good boys.
I figure out. This is my gravity watching experience. It all matters. I figure out, okay, the only way for me to get this shit-covered dog out of there with the least amount of damage to my house,
mm-hmm.
I've got to put on a pair of clothes I don't care about, or I just got to do this in my boxers, but I'm going to have to pick up this poo-poo dog. I'm going to have to open the cage door and grab his collar and immediately pull him up into my chest and carry this big old pit bull across my house and throw him directly in the
dripping
tub.
Shit.
So I had to, knowing I had to watch Gravity... I strip down a pair of boxers I don't care about. It's just me, shitty dog cage, anger. And I reach in and I pick him up and I pull his shitty body to my chest and I carry him through the house. And the whole time he's going, because he knows he's in trouble.
This is bad. Why do you hate me, daddy?
And I take him in and I put him in the tub and I just look down and I'm covered in shit. I'm in my boxers. I'm like, what the fuck? What is fucking happening? So I just sat on the edge of the tub and like I... rinsed myself off with the cup first. Like, I gotta get this off of me. We had to fill up the tub just to get the outer layer of poop off of him. Drain the tub. Fill it back up with clean water. Soap him down the whole time. He's just staring at me like, I'm fucking dead, aren't I? I was just mad.
But him's a good boy.
Just fucking mad. And so I clean the cage and it's just getting later and later and later.
And now you're going, I have to watch this fucking movie.
And then I say, I have to watch this fucking movie. And I pick up the box and it says 91 minutes. I'm like, at least that helps. Short, considering all the things that go on, it's both short and not short because that's the amount of CGI and practical effects in this film.
Mm-hmm.
91 minutes is a lot of time to fill when it's this godforsaken expensive. So, shit.
How expensive do you think this movie is?
Oh, it had to be $200-300 million to make. How much?
130. If I
how the fuck is that possible?
Let me check. 130 million.
Like, yep. I know Kurosan is an amazing director. I don't know who his producer was, but I don't know how that's possible.
His name's not Kurosan.
Oh, it's,
Cuarón.
Cuarón, thank you.
Him and his brother,
yeah.
Jonas. Yeah, 130 million.
What the fuck? How is that possible?
Yeah, from Film LA.
So, I'm pissed off. Post-dog cleanup. I'm like, okay, at least the movie's 91 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And I start it, and I really need them in this film to ease me into the situation. You know how it's 91 minutes, Thomas?
Mm.
There's no exposition.
There's not. Everything's told, everything's told visually.
Welcome to space. Things are moving slow. We're installing this thing for Hubble or whatever the hell. Yeah. And
Joke. Holy shit.
Satellite storm. Here we go.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, man, I am still trying to calm down from this situation. We went go time a little quick.
Oh, that was the wrong frame of mind to go into this movie.
And that's what I admit, right? I admit that. I had to pause this movie multiple times because after we cleaned up Sir Shitticus, we put him back in his cage because he's a bad boy.
So he cleaned his cage.
We cleaned his cage up. We put him back in. But then I had to keep on pausing the movie because Sir Shitticus felt like he deserved to be out of his cage and would just start barking like a psycho. So we had to go, you know, shut him up.
Well, the cage should never be a punishment.
No, crates should be punishment. You crate your dog. That's like a thing. You reward them to go into it at night when it's bedtime. But if it's during the daytime and they're not supposed to be in and they know they're not supposed to be in, you use the crate to separate them from what they're being bad from. But anyway. So, I had to pause this movie a bunch of times. I came into it with a bad mind frame. It's just, it's go out of the gate. But even that being said, right, my frame met reference being off, this movie starts off with a weird pace.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off in a weird spot.
It starts off slow.
It starts off super slow, but there's no exposition. You right. see George Clooney telling stories.
Right.
And then they get told that the storm's coming in. And Sandra Bullock, you kind of get the sense she doesn't know what she's doing.
Right. Well, not they say this is her first walk, and you know she's there as a mission specialist, yeah. not as a regular astronaut.
And then it's go time, and it kind of doesn't. It's huge, high pace, lots of downtime. Huge, high pace, lots of downtime. It's this huge roller coaster.
Yes.
The point being,
so would you say that's a pacing issue?
No, because what it creates is this heightened stress visually, and it kind of is sensual overload. It's too sexy.
Space is too sexy.
Sensual overload. Jeez. No, because it creates a sense of urgency, and then when it gives you a minute to breathe, you're left in isolation, and you're like, crap.
and then she starts
having oxygen shortage problems, and you're like, I don't even have the free space to breathe right now.
Right. And that's what I felt was, like, the downtime that you're talking about was just heightening the fact that she doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah.
She doesn't know how to get out of the situation, and it was allowing for that situation to fully sink in before she starts problem solving.
Yeah.
And there's only one place where that's not entirely correct, which I thought was interesting.
Well.
So, satellite storm, important to note that dude, George Clooney, he was about to break the record, or he wasn't supposed to break the record. He was right. going to be short by a
75 minutes.
Yeah. By a few minutes of the longest
75 space. Minutes.
Okay, whatever. By 75 minutes of spacewalk record.
Yeah, and that was like some random thing. It was his right. last spacewalk. He was supposed to be done. He joked about not breaking the record. Shit goes awry, and guess what?
He breaks the record.
Yeah, you know, we have nowhere to go. I'm going to break the record. Okay, so here are some things for me that weren't working or didn't make sense, but they work, right? Is Sandra Bullock gets thrown out. Ryan, Dr. Stone, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she gets thrown, and she is so disheveled and confused and not experienced enough that she is being just whipped around by the force and the mm-hmm. momentum of what's already gone on.
Yes.
She doesn't know that she can start kicking her legs in different ways to slow that spin down or anything like that.
Well, you can, but it doesn't slow it down like
a ton.
Demonstratively, yes.
Yeah, but she's doing nothing to try and stop yes. it. She's just burning up oxygen. She's freaking out.
Right.
So then you have the moment where she's just by herself drifting in space. You're like, oh, shit. And then he comes and he finds her, and then they go back to the ISS and they go back to the Voyager,
mm-hmm.
STS-115 or whatever it was.
I don't know. STS, wow, that was good. STS-157.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out how I want to say this and where to go with this conversation, which means I'm ruining the conversation. You get a very distinct sense early on that this is not her environment.
Yeah.
This is not her place. This is not what she is literally there to do the science job. She is not an astronaut. Yes. She has 6 months of training, whatever. And then you have George Clooney, who's at the end of his career and so comfortable that he's being casual and cool and telling stories and just being like, I don't have time for you to waste your oxygen. You listen to me now and you live. That's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
Knock your shit off. And the series of events for them to slowly make it to the next step of survival, it works. but it wasn't what I expected in this movie. I expected this to be a shitload more sci-fi walking in, and I have no idea why I felt that way.
Yes.
I felt that way too. I had heard some fantastical thing like she gets hurled into space and somehow a wormhole brings her back. Like that's the That's the kind of fantastical weird expectation I had going in. I didn't realize because when the first crash sequence happened, and I'm like, oh my god, is all the action over? The rest of this movie's just driftlessness. I didn't realize until Dr. Kowalski comes back, Matt Kowalski. Comes to get her, like, oh shit, no, we're going to go back and we're going to keep going through the next stages of the survival mission. Mm-hmm. So when she got hurled away, I'm like, so remember 91 minutes, bad mood in my mind, barking dog in the background. I'm like, what the hell is the rest of this movie going to be?
Right. And but then that was also like half an hour into the movie.
It's like, oh shit, there's an hour of her floating aimless until she finds a wormhole and poof, she's on Earth again. And then when the radio starts coming back in, I had a moment in my Mr. Robot framed mind, I'm like, is that real? Is that actually him coming to get her? Now it comes back later. That
comes back around.
Comes back around later. I had definitive struggle with like, oh shit, do not want to watch an hour of her drifting aimlessly. I did get stressed. And then her oxygen percentage is getting low. And I'm kind of like, is my oxygen percentage getting low?
Yeah, did you start hyperventilating? Because I did.
But then they keep on going through, and I thought it was clever that they set the watch for 90 minutes because they know that shit's going to come back.
Right.
They start going through the motions of trying to discern what the fuck happened, collect what they can, and then, okay, how the hell are we going to survive this? Right. And it goes to the next stage, which is where they make it to the ISS. Then they have another crash sequence where they're trying to get their hands on the ISS or the Soyuz capsule or whatever the hell you got. So that they can descend to safety. And then you have your third, which is where she is trying to make it to the Chinese space station. So this ended up being a multi-part up and down that I was not ready for. It caught me off guard.
Expecting this to be, oh, this is going to be the end of the movie where you're just kind of struggling through this one thing. And then she does overcome these little hills that continue to come
around.
I would
not call surviving a lone descent in space with no oxygen from station to station a series of small successes.
You get what I mean, though.
That's fucking insanity.
And it kind of what it comes about to.
And like, it kind of reminded me of The Martian in some ways.
Yep.
Where he lives by going through some crazy high action sequence that Michael Bay directed. And you're like, really now? But
that's,
here's the thing.
Yeah.
Is with hit in The Martian, all of the crazy acrobatics and stuff, he is a physical specimen. He is a fucking multi-doctorate. Like, he is a genius. Mm-hmm. Between his instincts, his reaction, his physical prowess, and his mind, can probably pull that off.
Right.
I see Sandra Bullock, Ryan Stone surviving in this movie, and I'm like, but they just spent how long explaining the fact that she has no space skills?
But that's the thing. She doesn't. And I felt like as I was watching this, the struggles that she had with the physicality of it were real.
The physicality struggles, yes. But then you get into like weirder stuff like trajectory calculations. Mm-hmm. In my head, I couldn't disconnect the science involved. I need to get to that target moving at this rate, at this angle around the world.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know if I blast my thrusters right now, I'm going to make it to the ISS? She does not have the discernible skills to make that trip happen, especially without comms. They've established that. And they show like, oh, I've got to read the manual while I'm trying to do the deploy sequence, which I appreciated. But I kept getting lost in the fact that she was doing way harder stuff that seemed to not be a problem. And then when it came to button pushing, she's like, oh, what do I do?
But think about that. When you get down to the bare science of it, math is math is math. I can do the calculations of this trigonometry, exercise, and it doesn't matter if it's real life or if it's on paper somewhere. So I'm confident that she can do the math because that's her job. She's a scientist. She can do the math. She's a physicist. My issue is that she doesn't know which buttons are which because she's not an astronaut or classically trained, if you want to say that, astronaut. She has to read the manual because, yeah, I'm
classically trained. I studied the 15th century space tactics.
Right. I studied under Galileo. You might not have heard of him.
Have I ever told you that I met a group of my friends, and the first thing I said to them, because I had one mutual friend introduce me to the larger group. Mm-hmm. They came to pick me up to go to like a bar or something. Mm-hmm. They walked in like, "What's up, man?" I was like, "Hey, what's going on? Just over here learning that Galileo is a bitch." It's the first thing I said to this group of people. They go, "What?" And I'm like, "Yeah, this show's about how Galileo got persecuted and immediately like rescinded all of his public research." It's like, Galileo was a bitch. He didn't want to die.
Okay.
Look it up. Galileo was a bitch.
Anyway. Cephalopod. Look it up. No, but I do feel like I said, math is math. And she could do that theoretically, but not know which buttons to push to make the things happen that she needs to happen. And then not have the skill to pull it off the way that it should. She might overburn, she might underburn, that kind of thing. It's no different than, I would say, flying a plane. We could sit down and I could learn the math on how planes work and how lift works and how thrust works and all that.
I have to.
But
hold
I wouldn't
on.
Know.
Hold on. I have to. Chicken Run. Thrust.
Thrust.
Thrust. I watch that once a year. It's amazing. I love
But I wouldn't
run.
Know which button makes this happen. Which button or which joystick or which whatever controls your yaw, controls your spin, does which flaps.
I get it. I'm just saying. Just let me have
I get you. I'm just saying I think that's a bit flawed to come into that way. Go on.
The downtime sequences between the action. Oh, can we talk about one action scene that I was like, oh, shit. When they get Rakif? What's the other guy's?
I don't know, but he died.
When they get his body and they show his face.
Face, yeah.
Like, oh my God, I did not need that.
With a hole in it.
Did not need that in my life. A freaking chunk of earth the size of a handheld portable phone from like the early 90s just cut right out of his head because it was traveling, I don't know, 70,000 miles an hour
Something
when it
like
ripped
that.
Through his head. And it's just like a perfectly punched hole. It's like, oh my God.
Which is how it would happen. At least he didn't suffer.
That... Honestly, like pea gravel sized, it kills everyone style space debris scares the shit out of me.
So how did you, when you watch this, how much did you sit there thinking after it was done? And I know we're not there yet, but after it was done, how much time did you spend thinking this could happen? Like everybody on the ISS could die because a meteor came the wrong time.
They just did a research that there's so much space junk in the Earth atmosphere, in the Earth orbit. There's so much space junk that they think if we do a large scale launch to leave the Earth with a batch of humans to colonize somewhere mm-hmm. else, because of the size of that ship, they actually have massive concerns about that thing being able to clear the atmosphere without getting destroyed. Mm-hmm. So they actually think what's going to have to happen is we have to build that construct in space.
Which
instead,
makes sense.
We have to send it piece by piece up over decades. And then send people up a few at a time to go and then populate the ship and then leave.
Yes.
But then you deal with the problem of how the hell do you create mass acceleration in space when you don't have the benefit of a flat surface to create your thrust? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you could still burn.
Exactly. So it's a whole new set of technologies and issues. How do you do a space launch when you're already suspended in zero gravity?
Right.
It's kind of nuts. The benefit of it is there's no perpetual gravity to fight against, right?
Right. The issue is how do you gain that much acceleration?
Right.
And then not become perpetually accelerant.
Right. So the idea that somebody destroys a satellite and it becomes a chain reaction that slowly dominoes into it's going to kill everything in orbit, so plausible that it freaks me the shit out and I don't want to think about it. That's what we call hyper plausible, mm-hmm. aka it could happen like yesterday.
Could be happening now.
Fuck that. Also, I did find it kind of irritating, though I always do, that it's all Russia's fault.
But it wasn't. It was a meteor storm.
And that's what I like about Matt Kowalski, George Clooney's character, immediately goes, I mean, they have, what did he call it? They have right to destroy, like, it's basically, he said, it's their space device. They have the total right to reclaim or right to, you know, reduce or whatever it was.
Right.
It's like, well, if they want it destroyed, it's their property.
Right.
Who the fuck are we to be like, oh, blah, blah, you can't just destroy things in space. But the chain reaction that it caused is like, oh shit.
Exactly.
I did like the joke. Half of North America just lost Facebook.
And that's a thing.
Yeah. The high action moments were nuts, and they were tense, and they're like, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. But the private moments that they have where she's just suffocating, or she's sitting by herself, or all that kind of little stuff, those moments, I felt like my chest had 100 pounds of water yes. stuck in it. And I've never had a movie do that.
Really?
No, not to this level. I've had a whole bunch that make me nervous, but I've never had one that every single time they want me to feel that way, they fucking nail it. And I'm already
tense.
And this is a testament here. I was already in a really bad mood. I have to resist saying shitty mood because it's too literal. And the reason I brought that whole story up is because I needed this to be in and out. I needed it to be short. I wasn't in a good headspace, and they still managed to pierce through and be like, yeah, this sucks for her, doesn't it?
Yeah, you just had to wash off your shit dog, but at least you're not, you know, floating through space with no hope.
Right.
Hope doesn't float.
There were other small things that I noticed and captured in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say there were two specific nods to 2001 Space Odyssey. The opening shot of the Earth and the way that it hits inside the frame. I'm like, oh, that's very...
It's very similar.
It's similar because how the hell else do you establish you're in space?
Plus the spinning.
Yeah, you show the planet.
Yeah.
Right? So I felt the opening shot little 2001-esque, not in a bad way, but definitely 2001-esque when she survives and makes it to the Soyuz, and then she floats into the light in the fetal position.
Yes.
It's like, well, duh.
That's after she stripped down, right?
After she stripped down.
That was such a big deal. I thought that was such a... That whole... I know it felt...
She's being born into a second chance. That was the extremely ugly thing. You don't talk about what directors are doing out loud, because it always sounds... pretentious. The pretentious statement is she's being born into her second chance.
And that was the womb.
But just a beautiful homage to 2001 A Space Odyssey. I loved that shot. I thought it was so clever.
That stripped down scene when she gets out of her gear, when she finally gets there.
It took me a minute.
It took forever, and I thought it was a little long, but it was also very beautiful in its own way.
I completely agree. When she started doing it, I'm like, is she...
She's emerging from her cocoon.
Yeah. Is she having a panic attack? Is she about to break down? She's just like saying, I need to just get the fuck off of me. And just like ripping stuff away. But then I started to slowly realize that it was just, I need to strip down to basics and just be for a second. I need the stuff off of me. I have to just
literally decompress.
I literally have to decompress and simplify. And she just rips all the stuff off and floats away. Now, I do have a question about this though.
Uh-huh.
How fucking sturdy are those NASA helmets? Because the number of times that this chick just throws her helmet around and it bumps around on stuff, I'm like,
You think it has to be. I mean,
it's got to be insanely strong, but I don't think you can just let it willy-nilly float around the cabin like, oh, no big deal.
I don't think, I mean, considering the velocities that you're talking about, it would probably do more damage to whatever it was hitting versus damage to itself.
Right.
I mean, hell, they say that if you have a bike helmet and you drop it, you know, a kid's bike helmet and you drop it, you should never use it again. But let's be honest, it's perfectly fine. Even though it's made of, you know, hard foam or whatever.
Yeah.
So this is fucking NASA we're talking about. I think they figured that out.
Speaking of helmets, public service announcement. They tell you with motorcycle helmets, you're supposed to get a new one every 5 to 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do that because the foam does degrade and it will not protect your brain anymore.
Right.
I know someone who had some massive brain trauma because his helmet was too old. That is a thing.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, that's a thing.
So we have to talk about when she does get in this, is it the Soyuz capsule? And
she finally talks to Anguigok in China. Mayday.
No, I'm not. But that's interesting. No, I'm talking about if I'm remembering my timing on this right. It had been 90 minutes.
Oh,
and
yes.
And so she's falling asleep because she's kind of giving up.
Yes.
And then there's a knock at the door.
Yes. And Matt Kowalski shows up.
Yes.
He's like, oh, I broke the record. 13 hours, 11 minutes. Count it. It's like, okay. I kind of knew immediately that was going to be
what it was.
What it was. Like, I knew she was going to some kind of hallucination state.
Yeah. I did too, but... Damned if that didn't happen, and I looked at Lindsay. It's been a few years since we've seen this, but I looked at Lindsay and went, I don't know if I'm happy or angry at this movie.
Yeah. So here's my thing. Your favorite, right? I'm having my McElroy moment.
Mm.
Jiu-jitsu.
Mm.
Let me tell you something about getting choked out, Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
You never have a moment of clarity like when all the lights are getting turned off.
I've been choked out before.
So here's the thing.
So meaner.
I have never been choked unconscious because I'm not stupid. I tap. But I have had my line of vision, my peripheral, I've had it choked into about the size of a watermelon right in front. I don't know, basically about 2 feet in front of you.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have a sliver of light. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of like, I either need to tap or he's going to give up. There's a funny thing that happens when you start losing oxygen to your brain.
Mm-hmm.
That all of a sudden, your emotional frontal cortex items become totally secondary. Emotion, reason, fear, rationality. Your body's preparing to shut down. And your fight or flight just becomes apathetic. Right? Mm-hmm. It's just completely apathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And you have moments of clarity. You're like, oh, yeah, 2 + 2 = 4. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I get it. Oh, put my hand there. Oh, duh. I put your hand there. And then you slowly start to come back as your brain gets more oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
While I was completely irritated, I admit it, I was completely irritated when he started knocking on that window.
Mm-hmm.
And then he opens the hatch like it was no big fucking deal. Like, you wouldn't give her a second to get her shit on if that were like the rushing thing. Oh, she'll live. I'll just open the hatch up and maybe she won't decompress into fucking space. But I kind of realized she was hallucinating. But the one thing that I did like is that her lack of oxygen removed all of her emotional apprehension,
mm-hmm.
which is what was dictating all of her behavior up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
It was so, as frustrated as I was that some of this stuff, and she was so novice and green, it was this gigantic moment of clarity that's actually, I think, pretty accurate to moments of stress where you start getting oxygen cut off. It's hard to explain that. But the fact that she cut her own oxygen and starved her brain out to where only basic calculations and basic logic were going to win, I found that to be pretty neat. But yeah, that enraged you?
A little. Well, not really. I mean, again, I looked at Lindsay and said, this is making me both happy and angry at the same time. And then I realized it has to be not real.
Yeah.
She has to be dying.
Yeah.
And once I had made that realization, this is just her brain telling her what she needs to do next to survive.
One thing I did like, I shouldn't like this because it reminds me of Final Fantasy X, the awkward laugh scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then Final Fantasy XII, I'm Captain Bosch. Like, those really
said
weird,
that a lot. I hate that.
What I did like, though, is that when she was talking to the guy over the radio on the AM channels, mm-hmm. the guy in China, and the dogs started barking, she just had like this really weird moment of humanity where she starts going, ooh, and she just starts barking with the dogs.
Yep.
And she was so broken. It was like this really fucking weird scene that I thought, it really sold me on the fact that she was stoic and cardboard. Like you were saying, like you thought she was emotionless. Totally took me out of that. I felt she felt so human in that moment, even though she was acting like a dog.
Well, at that point.
Yeah.
Because
she felt so fleshed out and human. Like, it's the one thing that gets her back is like, oh my God, there are dogs on Earth just trying to bark at me because they don't know what's up.
They don't know what's going on.
I'm just going to bark back. I can't talk to the guy. I might as well talk to the fucking dogs.
What? Yeah, so that 90-minute... At first, I was like, did they just write that in? Like, could that have happened? Because he had enough oxygen for that to have happened.
Yeah.
But you knew, part of you knew, is like, no. Did it bug you that he was the one who sacrificed himself? Because it did me.
Something tells me... See, this is like the wrestler.
Mm.
Something tells me that every time he's so experienced that he knows every time he goes up, it could kill him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every time he goes up, it could kill him. Every time he spacewalks, it could kill him. I mean, it literally takes a speck of dust traveling at 30,000 miles an hour. You're fucking dead.
Mm-hmm.
The fact we haven't lost anybody in space on a spacewalk due to debris yet is shocking to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of nuts. Have we had anybody die during spacewalk?
I don't think so. I'd have to look.
That's kind of amazing if we haven't. That has to be horribly dangerous. The thing is that I believe that with people like that, retirement kills them. So I think that he was so convinced that I just think he came both from a mission standpoint and experience. He was just at peace with, oh, well, I didn't die all the other times. Fuck it. Right? It's my time.
And technically, he would have. But, I mean, it's technicality, but he would have broken the record.
Yeah. But the other part of it, too, is, well, what kind of life am I going to have after this? I'd rather die doing what I love. Like, I'm never going to be able to do this again. It's over for me. So let it just be over. Just let it be over. It's fine. Mission first. And at least I'm going to die happy. So it didn't surprise me that he had his sacrifice. I think it more surprised me that they decided to go ahead and off the other guy without ever showing a close-up of his face ever until it was missing. You never met the other guy. The only time you saw what actor that was is when they show the photo that he has in his pocket. I was like, holy shit! I don't know. His sacrifice made sense to me. It worked.
And to me, it didn't. I mean, I get the justification. It's the same thing that you said. You know, I've done this. I'm an old dog. What am I going to do when I get back to the earth? That kind of thing. You're young. This is not where you were intended to die, kind of. But it also felt like, and knowing that one of the themes of the movie is feminism, which it is. It was like, oh, you needed a man to save you. And that made me angry. Because if your theme is feminism and...
I don't think... Why? Okay, so let's have a short, very brief discussion. I agree that we have to analyze and observe feminism and blah, blah, blah.
But that is a theme that they were going for.
Does fucking everything in the world have to be a man versus woman character study?
No.
Like, does everything have to be like that? Because in my opinion, this movie doesn't qualify for the woman saved by a man argument at all.
If he had not... sacrificed himself.
To me, I feel like gender in this fucking movie is completely inconsequential. Okay. And the fact that it was
fair.
I feel like the fact it was a female astronaut being saved by a male astronaut could have been completely reversed. It all had to do with experience and purpose. While I understand what you're saying, and while we're culturally trying to get around this, let's figure out gender identity, blah, 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 I do not feel like every film has to be a breakdown of man saves the woman. Like, we don't have to get into the gender role every fucking time. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
I don't think we fucking do. What's that guy's name? The guy who does the gender equality test? Does this film survive the blank, blank test?
Oh, I have
like
no
guy's
idea.
Name. I know that Pacific Rim particularly got a ton of shit because it like scored the lowest on that test in decades. Because the female relied on the one old man and the other young man just to be a complete being and blah, blah, blah. I can't remember what the name of the test is, but...
Like, I know what you're talking about. I just don't know.
Does everything have to go through this fucking filter? I didn't even think about gravity in this light until you just brought it up. And I get it. I'm not discrediting your point. I'm not discrediting it at all.
See, and that's
but
the
to
that's
me,
the point.
I don't fucking think everything has to go through that filter.
But that's the point. It's one thing if that's what happened in real life and this was the story of blah, 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 whatever. It's not. Somebody sat down and wrote this.
Yeah, but she fucking lived of her own intuition and her own ability.
To a point, but she wouldn't have gotten that ability to get to there had it not been for Kowalski sacrificing himself. And I think that it could have been just as powerful, poignant, whatever, if... he didn't have to jettison himself out to space. They just got separated in such a way that he couldn't have made it on his own. And they were still in radio contact like they were, if that makes sense. He didn't have to sacrifice. This is from a complete, knowing that this is, you know, a complete work of fiction coming from the writer's room. I feel like there was a better way to do that, to empower her. And not belittle the situation that she was in.
But why does this movie have to be a beacon for fucking gender equality?
It doesn't have to.
Okay, well then let's let it go.
But
I think that's
like
a waste of everyone's fucking time. No, everything should not be.
Yes.
No. No, everything should not be. No, I do not need to make my coffee in the morning being like, I wonder if this is sexist. It's like, I'm just making a fucking cup of coffee.
No.
We don't need to over-obsess with making sure every little fucking nook and cranny and perfect Lego is in place to make sure nobody's fucking offended. Thomas, if the number of things that offended me in my day-to-day were taken care of, the whole world would be gone.
Like, well, that's true.
It's completely ridiculous to accept that we need to put gender equality into every little microcosm of our fucking daily function. That's fucking stupid. If you wanted proper equality, it would be I'm walking past human. I'm not overanalyzing gender in this scenario. By overanalyzing it, you're perpetuating it. Don't roll your eyes at me.
No, I've just opened my mouth to speak four times and you've You've just kept going on your
steamroll. You've opened your mouth to interrupt me four times.
No, I waited until... No, but that's the thing. If I wanted to just interrupt you, I would have interrupted
you. Go on.
Thank you. I'm not saying that it needs to be a part of every piece of society.
You just said that.
No, I think that it needs to be a part of... Well, okay. You're right. I said that. My meaning, what I'm going for here is if you're creating something as entertainment, you need to be mindful of that. Yeah, what you're not going to do is go to one of your female coworkers and say, "You're a female, go make me coffee." Right? You're not going to do that.
But if gender is completely irrelevant to the story whatsoever, then why would you even have to waste time in trying to evaluate that?
I feel like it is. Like, it is important and it is part of the theme
of this film?
Yes.
I completely disagree.
Female.
No. It doesn't matter to whatsoever that it's a woman in space. I firmly did not take any of that fucking meaning
out of
this
movie. That's fair. And I'm looking back on it from seeing it 4 years ago or whatever. So, you know, maybe I'm confusing it with other pieces of my life that have evolved in the last 4 years as well.
But I mean,
if that stands out to me, he had to sacrifice himself in order for her to save herself. It's still a white knight shining armor type of situation, and I
consider it to be a fucking catch 22 of shit and shit.
No, that is true.
And he's just like, well, fuck it, someone's gonna die, at least one of us might as well fucking live.
I just wonder what she, now just taking it from pure, not no feminism or sexism or any of that in it, what did she offer the world that he didn't?
At that point, it's a survival thing. It has nothing to do with what offers the world.
Well, then why?
The mission was already fucking completely... That's the thing, though, is that that's the thing. You can't measure it that way either, because they were both just trying to fucking survive, right?
Well, she was younger, Tropic too, Thunder, right?
Survive! Like, it's like, that's where we're at, right? It doesn't matter. At that point, that doesn't matter about who offers what to society. It's just, I need to try and live.
Well, somebody does, and somebody, in this case, somebody decided that he was going to sacrifice himself. And I part of me is trying to analyze that and like, well, why her versus you?
Well, because if he tried to make an attempt at survival, then neither would survive. That's just simple odds. If both make the effort, both fail.
Yes.
If one one gives up the effort, the other has a 50% chance of non-failure.
Mm-hmm. So why him versus her?
Because he was on the lower end of the totem pole in that situation. He was the factor that made the mathematical equation impossible. So he had to remove himself for her to even have a chance.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Zero-sum game, right? Zero-sum game. The only way to win is not to play. So he just said, well, fuck, I can't be a factor.
Thanks, War Games.
Hey, it's a good movie.
It is a good movie.
I love Ali Sheedy. So...
No, I was looking at it from a, I get it. She had less of a chance to survive in the first place because she just wasn't an astronaut, and he was, and he could have. But I think you're right. There's something that I'm not remembering or I'm missing.
Well, that's like, so what's the psychological game? We each get $100.
Mm-hmm.
If we both decide to give up the $100, both get to keep the $100.
It's prisoner's dilemma.
Yeah.
If game theory.
If either one of us decides to keep the money, no one gets the money. If you decide to steal the other person's money, you get to keep all the money. What's the right thing to do?
Right. Then the answer is actually everybody should try to steal.
Yes. So he found himself in the middle of that equation and goes, "Well, fuck. The only chance that happens at all whatsoever is if I go."
Right.
So it's, can I call something out?
Sure.
Weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
Two things. And then we'll come back from break. Number one, do you know how this movie would have ended in real life?
Mm.
She would have exploded on return.
Mm-hmm.
Or in reality, just knowing how this shit usually plays out for mm-hmm. us, had she managed to survive all this, she would have drowned in the capsule.
She wouldn't have been able to get out.
Knowing how the world works, if this were a real event and we lost all those people in space, but one person managed to make it back to the surface of the Earth, just knowing humanity's like track record with like miraculous, crazy shit, she would have ended up drowning and the whole world would have been like, what the fuck? And so when she started not being able to swim in that
yes.
fucking thing, I'm like, man, What a way to go.
Her muscles would have been atrophied. She wouldn't have been able to escape the lake to begin with.
Yeah.
Although that is also something Lindsay and I talked about when we finished this movie. We looked at each other and said, how much of this movie happened?
Yeah, that's another thing, too, is how much of this is truth that she actually made it at all.
Because the first thing, I mean...
You don't know.
We didn't really think about it until Kowalski showed back up, and then she realized that it was... That was towards the end of the movie.
I think that that's a fun interpretation, but I don't think that's the goal.
No, I don't think that's what they were going for.
No, but that's a fun interpretation.
At that point,
sure.
Did she die from oxygen loss?
Exactly.
Because she's already at a point where she's hallucinating.
Yes.
And
I thought the same damn thing.
If you're hallucinating, if you have oxygen loss to the point of hallucination, you probably don't have the strength to turn everything back on.
Yeah.
Or the wherewithal to do it.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting point.
Yes. Did she really make it back? No, she probably died.
I think she made it back. But I think it's an interesting thing to talk about. The second thing.
Mm-hmm.
How come in all of the space movies that we have, mm-hmm. everyone does homages to Space Odyssey? Duh. As you do. As one does. When are we going to start seeing homages to Apollo 13 in space movies?
Because Apollo 13 happened, and Apollo 13... Wait, 13 happened, right?
Yeah.
Apollo 13 happened, and Apollo 13 is depressing as fuck.
I love that movie. But everyone... I just want, like, one person to block out the fucking sun with their... Or block out the fucking Earth with their thumb. That's all I want.
I would do that.
Just do it once. In a movie. Just make me feel like, oh yeah, Apollo 13 was great. We remember. lastly, I thought about this too. It's like more of a fun note. If I just survived a spaceship crash, an ISS undock,
ISS being torn apart.
Yes.
So two satellites.
Survived
storms.
A Chinese space station dissension and survived reentry. And landed in the water and got out of that capsule, got my fucking suit off again, and survived and landed on the beach. You know the first thing that'd be through my head? I hope the rescue mission shows up with like a jar, because I want some of this fucking sand. I want to take this sand home. I want to jar this sand in my fucking house.
Yes.
This is my sand. I came a long crazy way to get this fucking sand.
Yes, I get that.
I got a jar of dirt.
My first thing that I would want is a cheeseburger. Like
cheeseburger.
For real. Red cheeseburger. something I want to read to you. Deaths in space.
Wait, we should actually this is really disrespectful.
It's so disrespectful.
I'm gonna finish it anyway. Deaths in space.
Seriously though.
I know we put a dog out in really space bad. To see what happened.
The Soviet space program also suffered the first, and so far only, deaths in space in 1971 when cosmonauts, three names I'm not going to be able to pronounce, died while returning to Earth from the Salyut 1 space station. Their Soyuz 11 craft performed a textbook-perfect landing in 1971. So recovery teams were appalled to find the three-man crew sitting dead in their couches, with dark blue splotches on their faces and blood dripping from their ears and noses.
Oh, shit.
An investigation showed that a breathing ventilation valve had ruptured, asphyxiating the cosmonauts. The resulting drop in pressure also exposed the crew to the vacuum of space, the only human beings ever to ever experience such a fate. They died within seconds of the rupture, which occurred at 168 kilometers, 104 miles, making them the only humans to die in space. Since the capsule ran an automatic reentry program, the craft could land without living pilots.
That's scary as fuck.
Yep. 1971.
Something went wrong. It killed you. We brought your bodies back on accident. Incidental body retrieval. Yep.
Luckily, it sounds like they died almost instantly. Like they didn't suffer long.
I know that they say that a human can survive the vacuum of space. They said that Space Odyssey is one of the films, actually, and technically Gravity too, one of the few films that got that right. Like you can survive the vacuum of space. It just ain't fun. Mm-hmm. It's fucking torture.
But you can do it for what? Is it 12 seconds?
No, I think it's like 30 seconds.
I don't know about that.
If you hold your breath and you're making movements to get to a more secure spot, I think you have like 30 seconds to a minute.
That's uncomfortable, and you're going to have problems.
It's going to feel like the worst kind of slow, horrible death ever.
Did I tell you I saw Passengers?
Oh, yeah. Was it bad?
No.
Really? You liked it?
It wasn't great.
Everybody hated it.
Wasn't great. The problem that I think we did talk about it on the podcast. The problem that I had with that movie was the end.
Really?
They left. It was they did one of these.
Spoil it, because I'll never watch it.
It's worth it. It's worth watching. Mm-hmm. It really is. It was entertaining at the very least. The problem with the end is they live, right?
Yeah.
That's what happens.
And so they wear glasses and they can see aliens? It's a They Live joke. Come on now. Keep up. Have you not seen They Live? Oh, buddy. We're going to do that for the podcast so hard. If you've never seen They Live.
I can't remember.
Oh, my God. Greatest fist fight in a movie. So good.
Can't remember. Anyway. There's this whole piece where they're struggling to live, blah, 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 right? There's a tree that is planted. And then they get through all the problems, and the next shot is this tree that's no longer a sapling. It's a fucking oak tree. And there's a voiceover saying, oh, we made lives for ourselves. Da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, the point is you survived, and then what happened? Not this happened 80 years later or whatever. That was what frustrated me.
Anyway. Let's take our last break.
Oh, yeah, we still have a break to do.
Dude, it'll be short.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, you know what? Fuck it. Who cares?
No.
Nobody needs to hear the music twice.
Do it.
It doesn't matter.
Do it. The button.
Do you get sued by Nike? You can't just say the words do it.
It's sexist.
Apparently, because everything's got to go through the gender filter.
Do me.
So much of me wants to hope that was a Freudian slip.
It wasn't. It was
I know it was intentional.
It was an intentional joke.
But it'd be funnier and weirder if it wasn't. Are we taking a break?
Yeah.
Oh my
God. In the ass.
So, Gravity.
Again, with the so. Grade the movie.
B.
Yeah, that's fair.
I have... It's hard. It wasn't...
Wait, let me ask you this. Was it what other people were saying it was?
No. Well, it was a spectacle. I can't believe this only cost $130 million to make. Yeah. I spent the whole movie going, how the fuck did they do this? Like,
right?
The whole
There's
movie,
quite a few.
The whole movie going, how the fuck? Okay, A. I'll get an A minus. We'll bump it up a little bit.
Ah, nice.
I don't know how the fuck they did this.
Yeah.
No, but B. B plus. No. I'm sorry.
You're teetering on the edge.
I'm fighting because there are things about this I thought were so awesome, but then other things I'm like, I don't need. Like, I don't think I'll ever watch it again. It's got no rewatchability.
Was the story worth it?
That's where I can't say yes.
Yeah, I get that.
That's where I can't say yes.
I might rewatch it now because it's been so long. It's been a few years for me.
If I'm hanging out with somebody and they want to see a movie with like cool technical effects and like we're just like, fuck, you want to have a beer? We can watch Gravity and just like see, I can show you what it's about.
This is not a beer movie.
Man, I don't know. I can't imagine a circumstance I would watch this twice.
The original,
I would not negative one this to somebody else.
The original asteroid attack.
Fucking nuts.
And then the subsequent debris attack or whatever.
Yeah.
Those are two pieces that I would sit somebody down who has no interest in watching the movie
and
say, you've got to watch that. You've got to watch that part. But the entire movie, I get that.
That's the thing, man. It's not the best survival movie I've ever seen.
No.
It's not the best technical effects movie I've ever seen. However, on that level of a budget, holy shit. It's not the best acted movie I've ever seen. It's like, it works on all those fronts, but that's about as much as I can say.
This is the problem that I have with Spider-Man.
Which one?
The new Spider-Man.
Really?
Yes. All of those things on paper.
This is the nervous generator?
Yes. All of those things on paper. One thing. But on the other end, okay. So spoiler alert, I'm still in Jersey, so we're recording this before I've actually seen the movie.
You're a dick.
Yeah, but that's the problem that I have with going into trying to see this movie. I am like all those things are okay, but not great. And then put it together. And is it worth it?
I think that at the end of the day, that's my summary experience with Gravity, is it can't be an A film because it's not, I mean, it isn't a definitive masterclass of anything that it tries to be, but it's there and it's good at what it does. Mm-hmm. It's just,
it's a movie.
I can't.
It is not a film.
If I wanted to point someone at a movie that like takes your breath away, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh shit, I actually would recommend Don't Breathe. Oh, Don't it's Breathe. Good movie. Holy crap.
That's the blind guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get that and Lights Out confused because I would think that
or Get
Lights
Out. Oh no, Lights Out. Lights Out. Yeah.
I would think that Lights Out is the movie that I'm thinking of, but it's not. Lights Out wasn't all that. I
mean, Alien. Alien's a good one. Hold your breath. Oh shit. You know what I mean?
I get that.
Apollo 13. I say that's. See, this is.
I haven't seen that in so long.
This is a good comparison. Everything that Apollo 13 is, though, they're two very different movies. Mm-hmm. I would call that more of a masterclass piece than I would call Gravity. I'm glad Gravity's there. That's about all I've got. That's about all I got. Like, there's some shit in it that's amazing.
Some of the shots. I'll say I liked what they were doing visually,
yeah.
But I didn't need to watch the entire movie to see that because nope. like when she's in that like murk and she's coming after she's landed and she's like grabbing that fistful of dirt of sand or
she
whatever.
She could have squeezed her fingers through the sand and they could have cut it right fucking there.
Yeah.
Don't show her trying to stand up. Don't show her laughing. Don't show her say thank you. Like maybe squeeze the hand and you hear her say thank you. And then that's it. Like, I would have cut it right there.
But even that, I mean, that's a good shot. The above shot where she's just in, like, this water and looks like she's coming out of amniotic fluid, kind of. Yeah, I mean, I get that.
But that's
almost... I didn't need to watch the entire movie to see that one scene.
Right, but that's almost too much of, like, a John Wick ending.
Her spinning, you know, in the fetal position and just her under... I guess technically their underclothes or whatever. And that, you know... While that was also an allusion to 2001.
Yes.
But also just a very brilliant way of showing her decompress and just how I feel when I have something stressful finally released from me, because I do get that tense kind of feeling. That was brilliant. I even looked at Lindsay and said, that's a matte shot. And I think he even said, that's a matte shot. But I didn't need to watch the rest of it just to see that shot.
No, I'll tell you what. There was one thing in the movie we didn't talk about that fucking tore me up immediately.
Mm.
Is that when she was like saying goodbye to Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling her to tell her daughter. Like, goodbye and I love you and blah, blah, blah. The red shoe, dude. Oh, my God. Mm. When she says, tell my daughter I found the red shoe. She was so worried about it. It was just under the bed. Like, that's where I was like, oh. You bastards.
It's human. Human. Too human. Too human
too
for me.
Too human man does not compute.
Now I have Rob Zombie in my head. Thanks.
This makes my eyes rain.
Simple? Now I have Simple Jack.
I made my wife watch Tropic Thunder the other day.
Yeah?
Yeah, she loved it.
Yeah, Lindsay loved it.
Yeah, we just watched it again. Yeah, Gravity's just not... I'm glad it's there.
If you can dodge a space station, you can dodge a ball.
I
haven't seen that movie.
You know, it's funny, though. I did hear after the... I heard going into this movie that one thing people complained about is the only thing that didn't react to Gravity like it was supposed to was her haircut. And the director came out and said, like, what the fuck do you guys want me to do? Really? That's why she had a shortcut that looked like she had some kind of... Either it was so full of sweat that her hair was just kind of stuck that way, like it was gelled in place... or like she put something in it to keep it still. And he's like, what else are we supposed to do? But I will admit, I did totally fucking bother me that her hair wasn't moving around in zero G. Like, I know you can't,
but that's the thing. It did happen, but it didn't happen consistently. No, it wasn't shot for shot.
It was messing with me and I fucking noticed it. Also fire in space. That
works like a liquid.
Does work
which
like a liquid.
We learned from Going Deep.
With David Reese.
With David Reese.
Yes, that's correct.
Fire works like a liquid.
Boop, boop, bitty-doo, boop.
I've not seen that since you've...
Oh, season two is so funny. It is gone, unfortunately. No season three.
No season three.
It's all right.
I'll have to find it somewhere and watch it because I've not
Internet.
Seen it.
Yeah. I mean, David Reese deserves your money. That's all I got, man. Yeah, I mean, Gravity was good. I just, for some, there's just things about it that are holding me back. Like, I will never rewatch it.
Yeah, like, I don't blame you.
I probably will never watch it again.
I didn't rewatch it for this, and I probably should have to be a little more up on it, and maybe my thoughts on the whole, you know, White Knight thing might have been different, but I'm trying to remember something from years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to put myself through that kind of stress again.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, dude. It's like riding a fucking roller coaster.
Yeah.
It's kind of awful.
I would say...
I actually, you know, it's hilarious. Fact. I was drinking some beers, and then I got finished with the beer about 20 minutes into the first act, and immediately decided I'm not having any more alcohol. Like, I cannot get more inebriated for the rest of this process. I am fucking done. I'm good. I don't fucking need this.
Would you say that it was a good shared... You watched it with your wife, right?
She fell asleep.
Your wife always falls asleep.
We were mad at the dog.
Would you say that it would be a good shared experience? A date movie, per se?
No.
Really?
No, not really.
Wow. That stinks. So you gave it a high grade, but you wouldn't recommend it to anyone.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's weird.
I know. It has no rewatchability. I'd recommend, if you want a personal experience that's space or science-based, mm-hmm. fucking Arrival first.
Oh, sure.
Dude, like, six ways.
Keep in mind, this was way
before. And that's
the
other thing, man, is this, like, I think Arrival is one of the best space films, well, high concept films
mm-hmm.
in the last 20, 30 years. So having that in my recent back pocket and being one of my favorites of all time, it's fucking hard.
What about this versus Martian?
I think the Martian's better.
Okay.
But
that's fair.
But Gravity is why we got the Martian. Like, yes. That's the thing.
Yeah, you can tell that,
this
too.
This just set a whole bunch of other high-concept sci-fi movies into place. I would also rank Gravity under Interstellar.
Yeah, but you think Interstellar is up there with Arrival, just on different planes. So.
Yes. I don't know, man. I don't know, dog. It's fucking weird. Well,
I can tell you.
I mean, do you feel as conflicted about it, too?
I do, but I've not had the recent watching experience to be able to say one way or another. I liked the movie enough to, when I saw that you hadn't seen it, I was like, oh, you've got to see that. But you've not yet. I do want to point out, yeah, 130 budget, 130 million, but it made 723. So enough people liked it to, but you had already said that, didn't you? That
yeah.
You had been pushed. Do you wish you would have seen it in maybe a big theater or maybe in 3D?
I will say this. I very much wish that I had seen this in a theater.
Yes. Okay. That's redeeming a bit.
Yeah.
Because
I really wish that I would have seen
it. It would have been really pretty in a theater. We did not see it.
I would have lost my shit.
Especially in 3D.
Oh, I do have one confession. Now, I didn't rag on the fucking effects at all, because the effects are amazing.
Yeah, they are.
Did nothing but praise them. I did watch this on standard DVD. So there was some pixelation in some of the stuff.
Oh, that's a bummer.
My wife knew I had to grab it. She grabbed it from the library while she was out and about. They didn't have the Blu-ray. They only had the DVD.
Gravity was produced entirely in the United Kingdom, where British visual effects company Framestore spent more than 3 years creating most of the film's visual effects, which make up over 80 of its 91 minutes.
Fuck.
It is all special effects. So
yeah, but fucking insane, especially. Yes. Like, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, truly.
Just the way that dude's body goes limp after that rock goes through his head. I mean, it's an instant, like, yep, he's gone. Like, it was that quick.
I'll never be able to think about that punched hole through his head. Like, I'll never be able to get that out of my mind.
Right.
Fuck. Fuck, space is scary.
It is. And eventually...
I want to go so bad!
And
it's
eventually...
so fucking scary.
We're going to have to go there.
We don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you ever sit and think about that?
I do. And you know what?
You know who makes me think
about it? Is, when you start getting into, like, if you want to get into hunting, you have to understand land, which means you have to understand the conservation of the land, which means you have to understand the history of the country that you're looking at, right?
Okay.
You have to understand why the animals are there, where they came from, blah, blah, blah. But one of the most interesting parts is, like, the history of hunting and, like, okay, here's how you hunt a deer. Here's how we know that's how you hunt a deer. It's like, oh, the cavemen did it that way. You start to get into a part of human history where... They're not sure how much of our migration around the globe. This is the kind of history stuff that I've been reading lately. how much of our travel around the globe was pursuit of food and how much of it was curiosity. Like, they don't know when the Neanderthal crossed the land bridge or whatever humanoid crossed the land bridge. They don't know if they saw a peak and said, wonder what's on the other side of that. Or they said, I just saw a fucking animal go on the other side of that.
I'm hungry.
They have food over there. They have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
And they have to, they say all the time, human curiosity is a permanent part of our brain structure,
mm-hmm.
pre and post evolution. Like, curiosity is a thing with primates. So the idea of what, like, what's over there? It's not why do I go over there? It's the I wonder what may be over there.
Mm-hmm.
Humans are going to leave Earth, period. It's like a hardwired part of our DNA that we go, but what else? And the more and more you look at history and the spread of people and why would you build that? Why would you do this? It's like, well, could we? Why not? Like, what we got? It's human curiosity is so undeniable. Mm-hmm. I don't think we can help but look up and go, what's there?
Well, yeah, we're doing that now. I mean, I do that now. My concern is that we know with the science that we know that the sun will experience a heat death. Prior to that, we may either completely nuke ourselves out of existence,
right,
or change our environment. I
mean, dude, we could have freak solar winds and we're gone.
Yeah, that could happen. Yes.
One freak solar wind hits, ozone layer's gone, we're fucked.
Yeah, it does it the wrong way. Exactly. We've been incredibly lucky thus far. complete resource depletion. We deplete the wrong resource, we can destroy the ecosystem, which would then destroy our food system.
Yeah, it's funny.
We're going through that now with bees.
Yes, we are, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that they finally figured out what some of the bee problem is?
No, what is
they
it?
They found that there's a microspore that causes infections for bees, and it causes mass death inside of the hives. And the spore is really common in certain agricultural crops. So when you change the crops in a region, you increase the chance of the spore being present for the bees to interact with, and it's killing them off.
Mm.
It's very weird. It's still human intervened, mm-hmm. but in a much weirder way. But they're pretty confident it's this weird spore that starts to cause hive death.
One weird trick to kill all the bees. Click here.
Yeah, right. Fuck. Oh, but like, so this is an argument I get in. I have a guy that I know that just any subject, he walks into having like an open discussion, knowing you're wrong the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing you can say. Like, this is a guy who, we have an ongoing bad debate about recycling.
Is it me? Oh, okay.
No. We have an ongoing debate about recycling because he gives me shit because I do not pay for recycling in my house.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to know recycling does more harm to the environment than it does good because of the amount of energy it takes to transport, consume, degrade, all of the processing of recycled plastics. It saves money in manufacturing and it is another revenue stream for garbage processing plants,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't improve environmental state. And because it's such a high profit item to take someone's garbage and turn it into cash, whether or not, this is a fact, you can look it the fuck up, but he called me out and said I was full of shit and like pretty much laughed me out of a room. Rumpke is the local place.
Mm-hmm.
They still sort the fucking garbage anyway.
Yeah, we've talked about this.
They sort the garbage and get as much recoverable, sellable items as they can because there's fucking money on there. Like, mm-hmm. there's money in it. That's all they care about. It's another profit stream. Like, yes, there's an environmental thing and reuse. But I'm not going to pay for recycling if they're just going to yank it out of my trash anyway. However, I'm not anti-recycling like some people are on this end of the spectrum where I think it's just a hoax to hose you for $40 a quarter,
mm-hmm.
So that they can make a higher profit. They're profiting from you so that they can profit. Now, my thing about recycling is that if you want to pay for it, I don't care. That's fine. Because we have to invent and get used to recycling. Because when we start space travel, that's going to be our only way to keep resources constant.
Mm-hmm.
So we will have to master this concept of recycling. But well, like when I bought a house and they're like, oh, $40 a quarter for a green bin. I'm like, oh, well, fuck you. You sort it anyway. But I'm glad somebody pays the $40 so that we can start mastering the art of the recycling process.
It does not keep manufacturing costs down. That's
the other crazy part of it too.
Yeah. So if I'm giving you raw materials so that you don't have to create it. Yeah. I understand that they need to be processed and turned into PET and all that stuff that has to happen. But why should I give you your semi-free, you know, pieces of plastic for you to, in turn, not save me any money?
Yeah, it's the thing. It's a racket. Yeah. Like, recycling is a racket, but it's one that, in the long term, the more we learn about recycling mm-hmm. and the more profit they make off the recycling model and the more they can invest to increase the efficiency to make it a higher profit margin, we'll use that knowledge to go to space. They just don't need my fucking... What is it? 40 times. They don't need my $160 a year. Mm-hmm. They just don't need it. They will figure this out without me. Someone else can pay for
Quick
it.
Quick question. Just dumb, but something I've often wondered. Why we worry about landfill. We worry about running out of space for landfill and that kind of thing.
I don't.
As a scientific community, it is something that's worried about. You're right. It won't happen in my lifetime.
Here's the catch. It's disbursement of garbage, not volume of garbage.
Right.
It's the fact that we spread a little bit of garbage on a lot of area. Mm-hmm. How do we concentrate that? Because I think someone did research.
Well, the more you concentrate, the more problems that you have with it leaking into the environment. And
right. So someone said that they used Manhattan and Texas. Those are the two samples. Mm-hmm. So they said that if the world population hit 10 billion, you could fit all 10 billion people into the state of Texas, and it would have the population density of the island of Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
So it would feel like New York, but all 10 billion people are living on the space of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Fact. We can fit all 10 billion people in that space and be fine. Then the whole rest of the planet is open to turn into resource generation.
Mm-hmm.
All of our garbage that we generate for 100 years could fit onto the island of Manhattan in a depth about the size of the Empire State Building,
mm-hmm.
and then you could just chunk that into the ground. Like, all of our garbage for 100 years fits on Manhattan. You just have to build a pretty damn deep quarry. The problem is the dispersion.
Manhattan's not tiny. I mean,
Manhattan, right. It's not small, but we're talking about one island in the United States.
The Grand Canyon.
Right. In the grand scheme, that's fucking nothing. But the problem is we got people ever, and then garbage is getting in water. That's like the biggest problem. So... But I agree. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
What my question was, what's kept us from developing some sort of rocket into the sun? And I'm guessing it's the cost.
Have you seen Futurama? It smells like burning garbage.
just a random... These are the things I think about at night when I can't sleep. Anyway, so -1cast, Gmail, Twitter.
Yep.
Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, next week, what are we doing? Look here, Captain DC.
I don't know.
I want to do something fun, just for fucking because. And I loved it, and you didn't even bother to see it in theaters. We should do Lego Batman. We should, like...
That's out in Redbox.
We should totally do Lego Batman.
I keep
There are so many "what have you been doing lately"s where you're like, Batman, 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 I am the knight! Like, you are basically Christian Bale.
Who are you? I'm Batman.
I really want you to see Lego Batman.
Lego Batman.
And it's such an offbeat current thing. I guess it's relatively current. Like, fuck it. Let's do it.
You told me when we talked about it last time it's Zach Galifianakis?
Zach Galifianakis is the Joker. It's a different spin on the Joker and, like, how it works. But in that role, Zach Galifianakis is, like, perfect, in my opinion. So he's a very interesting Joker.
Also, Doug Benson is Bane, right?
Of course, because he has a world famous Bane impersonation he does for his podcast.
And that's where...
And they're like, oh, fuck, we should just cast him.
Those are the two things that I remember because we were talking about it. And I said, Chris Hardwick does a good Bane impersonation.
Chris Hardwick's in the movie, but I can't remember who he plays. He plays somebody.
Probably nobody important.
It's like that whole ring of comedians is involved.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But Chris Hardwick at the end of his tour for Mandatory Fun. No, that's Weird Al. I can't remember the name of his tour. But
Mandroid?
It might have been Mandroid.
Oh, Fun Comfortable.
Fun Comfortable. That's it. And I saw him. He does an encore where he comes out and does Bane Jovi.
Oh, that's so fucking clever.
I'm a cowboy.
The only thing I can think about now, though, is the laughing fit from the Bad Advice show. Citizen Bane. I think about that once a week.
Rosebud.
Adam, I hope you're still listening out there, because I think about that shit at least once a week.
That's so funny. Where he's just sitting there waiting for his
bud.
Where he's just waiting for his results for his citizen test. Just sitting there. Sad.
So fucking stupid.
I would watch that movie. I would watch it for sure.
Damn it. It needs to be on Funny or Die. Like, it's...
How is that not on Funny or Die?
I have no idea.
Or College Humor.
They do the whole series where Pete Holmes plays Batman. Like, this is possible.
Anyway.
Son of a bitch. Okay, yeah. Lego Batman. That's all I got, okay. Man.
See you next week.
Time to just shoot some shit with a bow. Makes the most satisfying sound. And then you're like, fuck, that would kill something. Like, it's kind of scary. I hope I don't shoot my feet.
Do you stick the arrows in the ground in front of you before you shoot? Can you do that? Should you do that?
What are you talking about? No, I just have a quiver. I have a quiver that attaches to my bow, and I have one that hangs on my side.
Okay.
I do a hip quiver.
Oh, okay. That's still a pain in the ass.
No, it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
I'm trying to do it.
No, it's left hand. Left hand holds the bow. Yes. Right hand pulls from right side.
From here?
Yes. That's... Up. So, because you have to turn your bow sideways. So what you're doing, I'll show you. I can't explain this on a podcast.
This is dumb.
Your bow is up and down in your left hand.
Okay, Hawkeye, I get
you. You put the back of your hand to the sky, and your bow is now palm down, still in your left hand.
Can you
your
shoot
right
it that
hand
way?
Draws the string. You reach down to your right hand side hip. Uh-huh. You pick the arrow up, and you put the arrow on top of the back of your hand.
Uh-huh.
The back of your hand, then you slide it and pop it into the whisker biscuit or the arrow rest,
yeah.
And it's good to go. Then you just immediately latch on and pull. That's how it works. That's why I do a hip quiver. You could do a back quiver to get the same thing, but I prefer to do the hip quiver.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, see you next week.
Thing. You're not speed shooting.
Fucking press the button.
I'm kind of getting ready to play Most Dangerous Game. Is that a fart or a shart?
Oh, Christ.
Or as they call it in Rat Race, prairie dogging it.
No. Yeah.
Yep. Cool.
Bye.
Bye.
NeoZaz.com